What I have in this glass is a very ordinary substance, water. It is very common, but is important to life as we know it. Scientists are looking all over the place on other planets and other exoplanets outside of our solar system to try to find evidence of water, because wherever there's water, supposedly there's life. It comprises about 70% of our bodies at any given time. As you take in, some is released. As you release some is taken in, and the body has a balance of about 70%. It is second only to oxygen as a vital element for life. And as a matter of fact, water has an oxygen atom in it, two hydrogens and an oxygen. Severe dehydration causes death, and that occurs with a loss of about 20% of water in our system. The human eye is composed of about 75% water. Human blood is composed of 90% water. A healthy human being can go without food for many weeks, but only a few days without water. On our Earth, over 66% of the surface of the Earth is covered by water, by oceans, and by lakes. With this tremendous impact on life, it is only a little wonder that the Bible speaks of water quite frequently. It is a highly valuable commodity in the arid desert areas like that of the Middle East, where the scriptures are set. But more than that, water is used as a symbol for the Holy Spirit in scriptures. We're coming upon Pentecost, which has a holy day theme, or a theme of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is likened to water, we can learn about many lessons God is teaching us if we examine the concept of water. So let's take a very close look at water in this sermonette. As important as water is to human survival, the focus is even greater in climates where sources of water are scarce. Cities, all the cities that exist in the United States, all of them were built near rivers. Deep wells are natural springs. Legendary efforts in the time past were made to find and secure water sources. So the first thing we need to consider about water is that water is essential for life. So my first point is water is essential for life. Without water, there cannot be any life. That's why scientists are trying to find water everywhere. Let's go to the book of John, and let's look in John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, notice what it says in verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, so this was the eighth day after the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, or possibly the evening before, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. So there's a connection between the Holy Spirit with water. But this he spoke in verse 39 concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What happened? They received the Holy Spirit when? After he was glorified, ascended to heaven, and on the 50th day after the wave sheaf offering, during the week of the Passover scenario, 50 days later, we had Pentecost and the Holy Spirit was given. But it hadn't been given yet. So he said here that water is like the Holy Spirit. Water can heal a broken land and bring life, and so does the Holy Spirit. It heals a broken person and brings life eternal. It is our lifeline. If you look at water in the Bible, not only is it our lifeline physically, but it's likened to the Holy Spirit, which is our lifeline spiritually. Now, we are under a drought right now. We are under drought restrictions here in Corpus Christi and the surrounding area. And we generally, though, always have plenty of portable water available, so we don't tend to worry too much about it. We turn on the tap, and there it is. I remember the humorous story about some Arabs that were staying in a very fancy hotel. This is a true story. And they were astonished that they could turn on the faucet and water would come out. So they asked the people that ran the hotel, what happens? Well, this is a faucet and water comes out of it. So they went to the hardware store and bought a faucet, thinking that wherever they were, they could just turn the faucet on and water would come out. We are so used to just having water at the touch of a button or the turning of a wrist. We turn on the tap and there it is, but water is our lifeline. It gives nourishment to the plants we eat and provides what our bodies need. In arid regions, they tend to focus on water more and they appreciate it more. We take it for granted here, but in arid areas, it's very much appreciated. You and I need to learn to appreciate water. And by analogy, be certain that we appreciate the spiritual lifeline God has granted us through the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit and the analogy of the Holy Spirit is very much like water is in our life, living water. Point number two, water can revive what appears to be dead. What appears to be dead. Let's go to the book of Job. Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. And in Job chapter 14, we're going to begin to read in verse 7. For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. And that's very true. If you've ever had a plant that's near a broken water pipe, or you've had a plant that appears to be dead, and you put some water on it, it will revive almost immediately. There are a number of desert plants that can lie dormant for years, waiting for water. Hard, old, dry seeds will grow when water. They look like they're lifeless, but they're actually very much alive. They've discovered seeds in some of the Egyptian tombs buried with the kings that are more than 3,000 years old. And they planted them and added water, and they began to grow. They sprouted and grew with just a little bit of water. Point number three. Water, although not generally available to the patriarchs, because they lived in very arid regions, was granted, and it was one of the blessings of obedience. God used water as a means of rewarding or punishing Israel and the patriarchs. Let's go to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 26, a couple of chapters after the Holy Day chapter. Leviticus 26, we have here the chapter of the blessings and the cursings, if you're an astute Bible student. And in verse 3 of Leviticus 23, it says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Verse 5. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. So what was going to be one of the blessings that God was going to give the children of Israel if they obeyed him? I'm going to give you rain at the right time. You know, it's very precarious when you hear about farmers praying and wishing for rain. And we have many of them that are doing that right now. So one of the blessings of obedience was rain in due season. They would get not water when they needed it and where they needed it. On the other hand, look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And in verse 15. It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And it starts to list the curses. And notice what verse 23 says. One of the curses is, and your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. No rain clouds, the ground is hard like rock, because it was one of the blessings. And for disobedience, God would withhold water. In Scripture, God uses water as an analogy of that Spirit. We're coming up to Pentecost in about probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And the Spirit that's going to be talked about and portrayed on the day of Pentecost is likened to many things. The Holy Spirit, one of the analogies that's often used, is water. The Spirit that we're going to be given, or was going to be given to the church at Pentecost, was powerful, invisible, fluid, and it's what makes eternal life possible. All the characteristics of water from a physical realm transferred to a spiritual realm. The next time you reach for that glass of cool, clear, refreshing water, take a moment to consider what it pictures. That water is essential to your physical life. The Holy Spirit of God is even more essential to our spiritual life. So as we do with water, drink deeply and freely of God's Holy Spirit.